This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a beautiful day and a wonderful day to be together in this time of worship. And it's my joy to welcome you, whether you're joining us here in the sanctuary or over live stream. We are grateful to be together to worship God today. I would invite you to take a few moments to register your attendance. If you're here in the sanctuary, you can use the registration pads at the end of each row as they go down. Or there's also a QR code, if you like that method, that you can scan and sign in online, and that's helpful. If you're worshiping online, there should be a link there that you can put in your browser to sign in and let us know that you're here. A few announcements of upcoming things for you to be aware of. All the details are in the bulletin, but I want to highlight that on November 1st, we'll have a First Wednesday meal at 5:30, followed by some time together that will be led by our Wesley Foundation students. And we're going to be talking and learning about All Saints Day. November 1st is All Saints Day. And then together working to craft luminaries that we'll then take out into the cloister garden and light in memory of those who have gone before us. So it promises to be a beautiful time together, and I hope you'll sign up and participate. Also, November 1st begins our season of welcoming friends on Wednesday nights who would otherwise be living on the streets through the ministry of Room in the Inn. We'll host 12 to 13 men every Wednesday night here in the church, and we are in very desperate need of folks who are willing to spend the night. We need 2 overnight volunteers each week. And Stacy has let us know that if we don't have those folks, we can't host the ministry. So even if you can do it one time throughout the season between November and March, it would be a tremendous help. More information is in your bulletin about how to sign up to do that and other parts of that ministry. We are also in the season of preparing to send packages to our college freshmen. So there's information in the bulletin. If you have a college freshman, we would love to have their address. Or if you'd like to help put those together, there's information about how to reach out to Emily to do that. We are continuing our journey through the letters of Paul this morning, and we find ourselves hearing his letter to the Galatians, his passion that they understand the goodness of God's grace. So in the goodness of God's grace, let us prepare to worship in this time together.
Oh. Please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Know that the Lord is God. It is God who made us. We belong to God.
We are God's people, the sheep of God's pasture.
Enter God's gates with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise. Give thanks to God and praise God's name. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Gracious God, in your loving care are true freedom and everlasting delight. Forgive us for the ways we flee your care and deny the embrace of each other. Have mercy on us when we fail to receive with thanksgiving your good gifts. Liberate us from the selfish desires that devour the bonds of beloved community. By your Spirit, form in us the character of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we might faithfully bear the fruit of true freedom in our love of you and of the neighbors. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination that is found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the New Testament, Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, and 22 through 26. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another and envying one another. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
It's time for a special moment with the children. So I want to invite all the children who are in the sanctuary to come and join me up here. And if you're worshiping online from home or somewhere far away, just get a little closer to your screens. And we'll spend some time together and I'll take a hug. Thank you so much. Good morning, Maggie. Good morning, everyone. So glad to see you all. I hope you've had plenty of time to play outside this weekend. Goodness gracious, what beautiful weather we're having. Good to see everybody. Good morning. I want to talk about a really important word that we use in church a lot, and I hope that you will understand what it means. Some people even have it as a name, and the word is grace. This is grace. And we should dance when we think about grace. Because you know what grace means? It means that God loves each and every one of us, no matter what. You know, sometimes we'll have a baptism and we'll baptize a baby. And one of the reasons we do that is because we believe as we baptize the baby, that is a sign that God loves that child. They don't even know how to walk yet or talk yet or do anything quite yet except eat and sleep. And God loves them and always will. And that is true for you and you and you and all of you and all of us, that we don't have to do anything to make God love us. God already loves us. And no matter what mistakes we make or ways that we might fail or do things wrong, God's going to love us anyway. And so as you grow up, sometimes, at least for me as a grown-up, there are times I tell myself, oh, I'm not good enough. My nose is too small, or I can't draw well, or I made a really bad mistake, and I think God must not love me. But one thing I want you to learn in church and always remember is that God will always, always, always love you. And there are people out in the world who need to know that. So maybe sometime today or tomorrow, you can tell someone that you see God loves you, and that'll be good news for them. And that's grace. Let's pray together. Gracious God, help us to remember the most important thing of all, that you love us. You love everybody, and you love us, and think that each one of us is special. And there's nothing we could ever do that would make you stop loving us. Thank you for that grace, and help us to love others as you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church. And if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with family or friends. Many years ago, when I was in divinity school at Emory University, I was part of a congregation that met at Trinity United Methodist Church in Midtown, downtown Atlanta. And one of the ministries of Trinity involved a meal that we would share with folks who were living in homelessness. And that meal would happen on Sunday afternoons, typically. And so on the Sundays when the congregation shared in communion, some of us volunteers would go and take communion to those who were waiting for the community meal. They were always invited and welcome to come to worship, but many of them didn't make that choice. So we would take communion out to where they were. And I'll never forget one Sunday, we were serving communion to people going down the line, and I was about to offer the bread to one gentleman, and the woman next to him stood up and just placed her hand on his chest and said, "No, you don't get to take communion today. You hadn't quit your drinking. You don't deserve it." And I felt in myself this emotional response. I just wanted to say, no, that's not what it's about. This is all about God's grace. None of us are ready for it. None of us deserve it. It's all about God's love for us. You don't have to be anything or do anything. It's just a gift. Now, I'm not sure what I said, or maybe it was my companion who said something, but we made it known that in the United Methodist Church, we believe in an open table, and everybody's welcome at the table, no matter what. And so we served him. There have been other moments along the way in my ministry when I've heard that similar sentiment. I've had people say, "You know, I'd like to come to church, but I got to get my life together because everybody in church knows what they're doing and they have their life together." I was like, "Really? Have you been in church? Well, starting with me here." That's what it's all about, is people who don't have our lives together and making the journey together of grace, because it's all about God's love for us and not about our readiness or worthiness. When I was working in prison ministry, I remember sitting across from a gentleman at the holiday meal, and he said, "I don't know why y'all are out here. We don't deserve it." And I just felt that guttural response, "No, that's not what it's about. Please don't turn away from God's grace because you think you're unworthy." When I feel that emotion, I don't even know what to name it. It's not anger. Maybe it's closer to sadness or urgency, but I think it may be similar to the emotion that Paul was feeling when he sat down to write the Galatians. If you were here last week, you know that I mentioned the letter of Galatians, and I described it as Paul's angry letter, but I'm not sure I got it right. I think there are other emotions at play in this letter. You see, what's happening in these churches of Galatia is frustrating and breaking Paul's heart. He had spent time among them. We don't know exactly which churches he's writing to, but he was clearly part of sharing the gospel with them for the first time, for helping them come to know Jesus Christ as the Son of God. These were folks who were not part of the Jewish faith or of that tradition. They were Gentiles, perhaps participating in Roman religion. But he shared with them the story of Jesus of Nazareth and how he'd been crucified and raised from the dead. And through this revelation, we know of God's unconditional love for all humankind and the saving work that God is doing in our midst. And they believed, and they were baptized. And when they were baptized, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to form a church and to grow in their faith. And Paul stayed with them for a while, and then he moved on because that was his calling. He went to found other churches in other places. But somewhere along the way, he got news that something was happening in these churches of Galatia. There were these other teachers who had come in, those who perhaps had been raised in the Jewish faith, and that was part of their tradition and their understanding. And it's understandable that they would feel this way, that they came and said to the Galatians, "You're not doing it right. If you want to get right with God, if you really want to be saved and made whole, you've got to also follow all the laws of the Torah. The men have to be circumcised, and everybody has to obey all of the food laws, and you have to take on all of this as well. If you want to be right, you have to..." And Paul gets word of this, and he says, no, that's not it at all. He believes and feels that in this one issue, the whole gospel is at stake. If you start to believe that you have to do this or that or be this or that in order to be acceptable to God, then you've missed the whole point. In fact, he says in the letter, if you allow yourselves to be circumcised, then Christ died for nothing. And he describes and talks about grace. It's all about grace. It's all God's initiative coming toward us with love and forgiveness and acceptance. And all we have to do is believe it. All we have to do is accept that we are accepted. Just embrace the grace. I just made that up, by the way. I think that's a pretty good t-shirt. Pretty good bumper sticker. And yet, it's so much more than a bumper sticker. It is a lifetime of relationship with God to embrace the grace of God. And we know that, I think. I mean, we're United Methodists. Grace is our favorite word. We talk about grace. We offer grace. We live grace. We have the open table. We believe and pronounce at West End. God loves everyone unconditionally. And yet, in how many different ways do we experience that hand on our chest? God loves everyone, but no, maybe not quite fully. Not you. Not your life's not together. You got to get your life right. You got to stop doing this thing. You've got to change yourself. You've got to be different. If you really want to be acceptable to God, do you experience that in your own life? Those voices constantly saying to you, you're not worthy, you're not enough, that God looks upon you with judgment and a critical eye. I know I do. Even though I know in my head and I preach it and we proclaim it every Sunday, I still feel that, not yet, not quite enough. And so these words of Paul, this emotion of Paul is for us too. We hear Paul saying, no, don't let that hand bear down on your chest. Don't listen to those voices. Remember, God's grace is for you. There is nothing more that you have to do or be to be acceptable to God. You, says Paul, are free. You are free from the burden of trying to prove yourself or trying to convince yourself or others that you're worthy or that you belong or that you're acceptable. You're free from that burden. For you are called to freedom, says Paul. So this morning we once again accept the good news that we're free from that. And we begin to consider, what are we freed for then? If we truly accept that we're accepted, if we embrace the grace, then what? How do we live that out? Then everything else in our lives is a grateful response to that unconditional love. And so we respond with practicing prayer and worship and reading scripture and giving what we have. And, you know, some of you this week have received your letter with the estimate of giving card. And I hope when you see that, you don't see that as, well, you better check this box or you're not acceptable. No. What that is an opportunity to respond to the generous grace of God with all that we've got in every aspect of our lives. This is where John Wesley comes in. Very helpful. As United Methodists, we're shaped by the Wesleyan way, and one of the beautiful things he offered to the conversation about grace is a framework to help us understand how to think about it. And I know those of you who've just been through confirmation are like, yes, we know, we studied this, but we all need reminding. Wesley talked about prevenient grace, that goes before us, that pursues us. It's God's loving intention always chasing after us. Before we even know our own name, God's grace claims us. Then there's the justifying grace, the the grace and the gift that God accomplished for the world in the person, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, revealing to all of us that God's love is unconditional for all people. And then there's the sanctifying grace. And that's where we come in, where we work alongside the Holy Spirit to keep reminding ourselves and others of that unconditional love of God, to grow ever deeper in love with God, with our neighbor, with ourselves, to live into that freedom, and through the practices of the faith to allow the fruit of the Spirit to take root in us. We don't do those things to earn God's favor. That's already happened. But we do it to respond to God's favor that's already been declared. So we're United Methodists. We talk about grace all the time. We might believe it in our heads, but we need to be reminded again and again and again that God loves you, and God loves you, and God loves you because of who you are, not because of what you do. But how often do we take the time in our busy lives to sit in that grace, to absorb it, to crawl up into God's lap and just be held? So this morning, I just wanted to offer you that gift. Matt's going to play the piano for just a moment, and I hope that you'll take this time to breathe in God's love for you, to hear the Holy Spirit saying, "You are beautiful and beloved, and God delights in you," to be reminded that you're free, and that God's love will never, ever, ever leave you.
You almost don't want to say anything to break the moment. But having heard the good news, having felt and received the grace of God, I invite you to join me in our affirmation of faith. Please rise in body or spirit as we affirm our faith together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout this week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. If you are here with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew rack in front of you. If you fill that out and place it in the offering plates as they are passed, we will receive those. Please take note of the prayer requests listed in your bulletins and keep those names and situations in your heart throughout the week, praying for the realization of God's presence for each person involved. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of the harvest, we begin in gratitude as always, giving thanks to you for the change in seasons, the change in weather, the bringing in of the harvest that many of us never see but all benefit from as we sit at tables overflowing with the food grown from the earth. For the unseen hands that make our meals possible, farmers, pickers, delivery truck drivers, grocery store stockers, and to all the many hands involved from getting the food from the field to our plate, we give you thanks. We also know that so many people are involved with the things that make our daily lives function. For the unseen people who work the night shift, for those who pave our roads and build our sidewalks, for those who keep electricity running and keep our water safe, we say a word of gratitude. We don't always live lives of gratitude. We grumble and we complain. Forgive us for not noticing the hundreds of ways, big and small, that we live lives of comfort and of ease. God, in scary times when there are wars and rumors of wars, we don't always have the words to express how we feel, but we ask for peace, the peace that lasts around the world, in Israel and in Gaza, in Ukraine and in Russia, in Guatemala, in South Korea and in North Korea. Help aid and humanitarian relief to come in. Comfort the families of those who've died. Give wisdom and guidance to leaders, helping them to know how to come to the table with real solutions towards peace. On behalf of us who are sick, we ask for relief. On behalf of us who are dying, we ask for comfort and ease in the transition. On behalf of us who suffer from mental illness or loneliness, we ask for your preserving presence. And on behalf of those of us in prison, we ask for remembrance. All of these things we ask and more, God, using the prayer your son Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now at this time, we have a ministry moment about our faithful giving campaign that Laura Creekmore will come and share with us.
Good morning, y'all. As I was thinking about what to share with you this morning and tell you about, my mind has been going in several different directions, and one of them is what a joy it's been to be on the finance committee this year. And you may laugh when I say that. There are plenty of people, I think, who would not say, let me sign up for finance, y'all. It is such a gift to be part of that group at this church. And I will tell you, that is less about the actual amount of money we deal with than about the spirit of this church. Last year, when it was time for turning in our pledges, our estimates of giving, we came to you and we said, hey, y'all, we've really asked the staff to think bigger, to help us think bigger. And you all met every need. In fact, we got to spend part of the first part of this year figuring out what should we do with the generosity that the church has shared with us. And so as I think about where we are this year, and I think about where we're being called, I hope you all got to be here last week, by the way. I'm still kind of on a high from that 150th anniversary celebration, but I think about what I saw here last Sunday and what I see here every time I'm here and what I take with me when I leave the building. And I know we're being called as a group and each of us individually to share the spirit of abundance that we've found here together with the whole community that we interact with. And so I want to tell you about a few of the ways that the staff and our committees have already started thinking bigger for next year in places where we believe God is calling us and all of us have an opportunity to share in that vision. So some of the things are just real gifts. Our youth group is growing, which means it costs more to send them somewhere. We need more gas for the bus. We might need to rent another bus. Because the youth group is growing, it costs more to serve them dinner on Sunday night. We've moved our vacation Bible school to the evening, so we'd like to serve dinner to people who come. These are just wonderful opportunities. Many of us went on an all-church retreat this fall, and I got to do that. It was really wonderful. I talked to several people whose schedules didn't permit them to do it this year. We'd like to do it again. What a wonderful tradition that has been in the past and I think can be for us again. Some of the work that we do involves supporting partners like the Bethlehem Center or the Wesley Foundation across the street at Vanderbilt. Our conference isn't able to support those college students in the same way it has in the past, but I believe we can. So there's plenty more things just like that. But I encourage you, as you think about how to think about your estimate of giving for the next year, I don't want you to be worried as much about what the amount is. I want you to give generously in whatever way works for you, but I want you to think about that spirit of abundance and how we're being called to work together to live out God's vision. Thank you so much.
Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on your screen. While here in the sanctuary, we will pass offering plates down the rows. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous with us.
have had time to rest in the goodness and grace of God, may we go from this place more deeply to love ourselves, to love God, and to love our neighbor, because there's a whole world out there that doesn't know this grace. Go and share it in joy and peace. Amen.